Every Thursday night, you ask the questions, DT gives you his answers. No holds barred.
It's Q&A with Don Tony. This is your chance to speak your mind and be heard about anything.
Q&A with Don Tony. And now, your host, Don Tony.
What's up, everybody? Q&A with Don Tony is live and in living color. Well, it used to be in living color. Now we just do audio only. Not budget cuts, but just a little bit more convenient to do it this way. Let's be honest. You know, if I was 20 years younger and about 50 pounds lighter, nice tan, you know, maybe I get a little bit of additional viewers out of it. Or we could just clickbait the shit out of everybody. But nah. Hope everybody's doing well. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. What we did for this episode, just a little something for our channel members who are very kind to be a channel member here on YouTube. They had the exclusivity of sending in questions for this episode. I will tell you that the next Q&A episode actually is going to have a Don Tony and Kevin Castle show theme to it. Now, we're not exactly sure which date we're going to do it. Could be the 18th of July, could be the 25th of July. I know we have SummerSlam coming up, and we are absolutely going to do predictions for that. So I will definitely keep everybody abreast as to when we do that special episode. I know Kevin and I are doing one on the 11th of July, but that will be more of an AEW, WWE discussion, just general. But we definitely want to do one interacting with everybody out there, give everybody an opportunity to give us something specific for us to talk about. We definitely always like to hear, you know, what you are interested in, you know, having us speak about. You know, whether it's me doing the show's Q&A, sit down, you know, Kevin and I doing stuff. You know, we don't want to just talk and have you listen. And we want to talk about the topics that you want to hear us talk about. So anyway, before I start confusing myself, you know, the way, like, if I keep talking about the things that you want us to talk about, then I could talk about what you want to talk about. Yeah, it's a little late. So let me get into the Q&A. I want to give some shout-outs to Roger Rubio, Dave Levy, Crazy Cruiserweight, Nero Faye, Havili, Tuxedo Earth, James Campbell, and a bunch of others. Thank you for sending in questions. If anybody out there wants to consider becoming a channel member here on YouTube, just click the link, join, and you can be part of it. You know, all my weekly Patreon episodes, you get to enjoy that for free. I mean, especially since our Patreon family gets to enjoy the other episodes that I do ad-free, you know, it's only fair our channel members get something back. Plus, we do pay-per-view giveaways, and we do some exclusive Q&As from time to time. So, you know, we definitely don't try to, like, take away anybody's lunch money. I mean, you could sign up for as little as, what, 99 cents, $1.99, something like that. I don't know. Anyway, do I see Solo Sikoa as a world champion one day and surpassing Umaga's achievements? Honestly, as of right now, and I am a fan of Solo Sikoa, I loved him making a surprise in NXT, winning the North American Championship last year when I was on my honeymoon. I got to see that live and in person. Solo Sikoa is great. He is fabulous. Do I see him as a WWE World Champion? As of right now, I say no. You know, there's a lot of wrestlers in WWE I don't see as a world champion in the future. That is not taking away anything from Solo Sikoa. I am not in the mindset that everybody who works hard and gets over in WWE should be a world champion. Not everybody gets that point. There are so many of my favorites growing up, from Roddy Piper to others, that, you know, you think about it, why didn't they become world heavyweight champion? A lot of those wrestlers didn't need it. But there was a few back in the day that I would have loved to have seen as heavyweight champion, and they never got the opportunity. Even if Solo Sikoa gets the opportunity to fight for a world championship, as of right now, no. I don't see him, world champion, being the focus of the company, even if it's just for Raw or just for SmackDown. That view can change down the line. Right now, IC champ, US champ, tag team champ, absolutely. Not women's champ, but no, I don't see him as a world champion as of right now. And I honestly can't see in the future either. Something major would have to change. You know, the silent but violent stuff works great for him. And I don't know if that would help, you know, his chances of being heavyweight champion in the future. Where would I rank the Bloodline storyline in the list of greatest wrestling stories? You know what? To be honest with everyone out there, I love this Bloodline storyline. It is obviously a product manufactured because of COVID. It was heavily extended and morphed into different, you know, chapters because of COVID. Thunderdome, the lack of live fans, you know, that cage match when we heard all the emotions and something that you would never see in WWE unless it was an empty arena match. You know, when you see as far as a storyline that has gone on for a couple of years, it is definitely a very solid top storyline for this generation, because there's not many storylines that you could continue for a couple of years and not have any real dips. You know, you have peaks and valleys, but not any major dips. Even the NWO, I mean, the NWO storyline was much bigger. It was much bigger. I mean, and it's not just revenue. I mean, it just took, it's a storyline that can never be replicated. But the Bloodline, as far as this generation goes, definitely near the top. For the a length of time that it's been going on and still generate the fan interest, the ratings, the enjoyment, the investment, merchandise sales, ticket sales, buy rates, views, subscriptions, definitely deserves to be near the top. I don't know what would be the top of all time, because you can't really compare it to 20, 30 years ago. Different environment, different era, different way of going about things, but definitely, definitely one of the top. Let's see. Tuxedo Earth heard me answering a question about Mega Man mentioning MM2's music. The majority of his music is from video games. Do I think video game music is a legitimate genre of music? Wow, that's funny, because yesterday on Patreon, someone had asked almost the identical question. And, you know, seeing it here is fabulous. Let me put it this way. Video game music has always had its own genre. You know, people used to talk about 80s video games and 90s, especially it was so limited being the 8-bit and 16-bit era that you were so strapped as far as how much music you could do, and it had to be MIDI files. So there's always been a genre for video game music. But now seeing it with the Grammys, and I think this year Assassin's Creed Valhalla won a Grammy for the video game music. You know, video games now, you could produce regular songs for a video game. It's got the size, I mean, the capability. So, you know, video game music is not what it used to be. But does it deserve its own genre? I think it already has one. I'm a little surprised we didn't have more awards, like video game music awards over the years. I mean, it's hard to do it because, you know, when you look at the early days of video game music, like how are you going to do an entire award ceremony? But when you do video game awards, there should have been a little bit more emphasis on music. Is he the only one that enjoyed the episodes of Slam City? I don't know. I will say this. I don't see many people out there, even when it was around. Never saw anybody really talking about it. Yeah, Slam City was never a topic of conversation. Even with all the Q&As and the interactions and the chats and everything else from back in the day that it was around, I don't remember anybody really talking about it ever. Ever, which is pretty wild. Who do I see the one beating Gunther and winning the IC championship? It is so hard to say. You know, a lot of people think Drew McIntyre will be the one, but Gunther has to keep that belt for a few more months and pass Honky Tonk's record, pass, I think, Macho Man's record. If they can extend the feud with Drew McIntyre into the latter parts of 2023, I could see Drew McIntyre taking it. I don't think anybody would have a problem with that. Right now, I don't see anybody else. Nobody on the Raw roster I could see dethroning Gunther as of right now. I'm not sure if I want to see Gunther almost like Ultimate Warrior Hulk Hogan, where it's title versus title. You know, I don't know if I want to see that at a WrestleMania. And I don't want to see Seth Rollins versus Gunther title for title. I'm not sure how I feel about that. But as of right now, Drew McIntyre is definitely a great possibility, but not for a few months. Will the Raw SmackDown tag titles be given a simpler treatment like they did with the other belts? If you're talking about design, I talked about this last Saturday, that I think that they will be changing the designs. I think all the belts are going to be going into a little bit of a transformation. I mean, Roman Reigns' title, they just changed the color a little bit, and that's why you have Asuka with her title, with the color just changed a little bit. I think the Raw SmackDown tag titles definitely need a little bit of an uplift, and if they're going to keep one set of titles across two brands, then they have to debut new belts. I still believe that the women's tag titles down the line will get a facelift as well. What are some of the favorite things to talk about beyond the scope of wrestling? What do I like to talk about? I used to love talking about politics, but I'm not into politics like I used to. I am, just really, really, I mean, when COVID hit and saw the political games that politicians were playing on both sides, it really just pissed me off to the point that I just didn't give a shit about politics anymore. I see both sides manipulating people, you know, whether it's, you know, talking about, waiving people's tuition. Look, my wife has $50,000 in tuition debt. So believe me, she can definitely benefit from this, you know, this forgiveness program. But at the end of the day, you can't pick and choose who gets forgiven from debts and who doesn't. You know, when Sandy hit 11 years ago, I saw how certain neighborhoods were treated better than others because they didn't have as much. And yeah, I get it. You help those who are in need the most. But it got to the point where I saw people out there saying, wow, you know, I do the right thing. I pay my bills. I buy this. I pay for that. You know, I pay my taxes. And when I'm left with nothing, you know, it's like, well, at least you had it before. And then someone else that was left with nothing that didn't have it in the first place, they're given everything. And you see it even with illegal immigration to an extent here in New York. There's somebody who tried to get car insurance but it was too expensive. You know, he was telling me his address is a hotel right now. He got a cell phone. He got this. He got that. And, you know, I'm like, wow, you know, that's pretty cool. I mean, I think it's a little, too much. But I used to talk politics. I like to talk sports. I have so much going on with my wife that, you know, we really don't. I mean, we just talk about everyday shit. So. With the bloodline now in a civil war, James Campbell says in both Usos, especially Jay over very much, he can foresee Roman enticing Jimmy back to the dark side, teasing him to be the next tribal chief and Jimmy turning on his brother Jay. Do I see that? Not really. That is too many twists and turns this stage of the game. We got to get to Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes in a few months. It's going to lead to WrestleMania, but you know, I could see if they're going to do a four-way for Roman's title, that you probably want to tease a little bit of competition with Jimmy and Jay. Why would they want to face each other if it's a fatal four-way? Because Kevin and I talked about that on Money in the Bank predictions, that we could down the line see a fatal four-way where it's Roman versus Solo versus Jimmy versus Jay. And the only way you really could do that is if Jimmy and Jay kind of like both want to dethrone Roman. Not that they want to be heavyweight champion, but maybe they both want to be the one to dethrone Roman. And that could be where the competition ends up. So we'll see. All right. In my opinion, who's the greatest second or third generation superstar I've ever seen? Probably Randy Orton. I'm going to go through these fast because Havili sent like 15 rapid fires. So we got to treat him as rapid fires, Havili. I can't do a two-hour Havili show. Appreciate it, but, you know, we got to get through these quick. So I think Randy Orton's the greatest second or third generation superstar I've ever seen. Charlotte Flair on the women's side. Let's just say the bloodline continue to SummerSlam. Could I see The Rock returning to team up with the Usos to face Roman and Solo? Who would be the third man in a six-man tag match? I don't see The Rock teaming up in a six-man tag. If The Rock returns, maybe he returns and feuds with Roman. Who knows? Maybe into WrestleMania 41. I know that's ridiculous. It's so far away, but it could happen. Do I have any idea why Haku never returned to the WWE after he came back in 2001? He was just way past his prime. He was great in the WWF as Haku. I loved him as Meng in WCW, but by that time, you know, his time had pretty much come and gone. That's why even when he left in the early 2000s, you really didn't see him like pop up, not just the indies or TNA, but he just really, he was pretty much done. Haku in 2001 is a much different from Haku from 1988. No disrespect to Trish Stratus versus Lita, but why does the WWE not mention Lita versus Stephanie as the first real woman to main event Raw? I have expressed that complaint before. I think because of all the interference and all of the fuckery that went down that night, they don't really acknowledge it, but it really truly was the first women to main event Raw. Is there any chance we could see an MJF versus CM Punk for the undisputed AEW World Championship since Punk didn't get beat? Yes, I think that may end up being the match at All In. Punk versus MJF is going to happen again, as long as Punk doesn't have another fallout or an injury. If Mandy Rose didn't get released with Toxic Attraction, would they have stayed together and maybe go to the main roster, or would they have still broken up? I think they would have remained together. I still think that Toxic Attraction has never been the same once they split up. Whether Mandy Rose was still in NXT or WWE or not, Gigi Dolan and JC Jane have nowhere near the momentum that they had before. The problem is, storyline-wise, they had so much hate for each other. Why would they realign? They're probably going to have the enemy of my enemy is my friend, where JC Jane and Gigi Dolan have the same problem with someone or two people, and then they decide, you know, to team up again. I definitely want to see them reform, and I know a lot of other people do as well. Did I listen to Paul Heyman's interview on Pat McAfee where he teased that Fastlane will be in Indianapolis? Yes, I did. I think we covered this a week and a half ago. I talked about Fastlane and I can't remember the other pay-per-view. It was Fastlane and another one, but there was two pay-per-views happening later on this year. Roman Reigns versus Pat McAfee for that event? I don't see it. Just because Paul Heyman was on Pat McAfee's show doesn't mean that Pat McAfee's getting a heavyweight championship opportunity. It could happen. I could see it happening in Saudi Arabia. A Payback was the other pay-per-view, premium live event that I was thinking of before. What is most likely the way for Cody Rhodes to get back at Roman? To win the Royal Rumble match for a second year in a row or win the Elimination Chamber match? I could see Cody winning the Rumble for a second year in a row. And I think the fans would be all for it. It's just got to be a special stipulation. There's got to be something where there's people in that match designed just to take out Cody Rhodes. Maybe it's members of the, you know, of a faction that aren't even together as of right now. But you can't just simply put Cody in there and say, I'm going to win the Royal Rumble again and go on to take on Roman in WrestleMania. There's got to be a little bit of a roadblock designed in that match. But yeah, I think him winning the Rumble for second year row is the likely scenario. Why didn't the original Midnight Express go to WWE? They were way past their prime. Bobby Eaton in the early 90s, you know, he was already in his early 40s. So if he would have gone to the WWF in the early and mid 90s, it would have been in the early mid 40s. And he just, that Southern aura about him, and he wasn't strong on the mic. You know, I know that the Midnight Express was much more than Bobby Eaton, but, you know, you look at the team, you know, they were just way past their prime. I mean, you know, WWE was not really good with Southern wrestlers. I mean, especially when you look at the 80s. And, you know, I was surprised Dick Murdoch got as much of an opportunity as he did. And they pushed that he was a redneck in the middle 80s. But, nah, the Midnight Express, I don't think, you know, even a Rock and Roll Express. I probably would have thought the Rock and Roll Express would have had a better shot. But, yeah, I did when they first had the opportunity, it was a little bit too late. I mean, seeing Bobby Eaton team up with Arn Anderson for one ECW match was great, but it wasn't something that could have stood around for a long period of time. Did AEW tease a first-time match between Jericho and Sting? One-on-one, I think it could be leading to that. The only problem is that Sting really can't carry a one-on-one match like he used to. And, yeah, Jericho is up there in age, and I'm sure they would put on a great match, but, you know, I don't know if it's going to happen. We've been teased it the last couple of weeks. We had the tag match last week, but maybe on an episode of Dynamite, you never know. Most likely, CM Punk opponent at All In. Either he says either Kenta, Kenny Omega, or him and FTR versus the Elite. I say none. I think it's going to be Punk versus MJF. I think that could very well end up being the match. I hope that they finally make amends with the Elite. You know, even though a lot of fans say they don't care about backstage stuff or behind-the-scenes stuff, they do care about this because nothing has been resolved. Nothing. And, you know, when you spend a year making CM Punk come out as the cancer that's hurting AEW, and then he comes back and he's getting all this treatment, you know, five-star treatment, and, you know, featured on these shows, a lot of fans have resentment for that. They feel like he's, you know, like more of a WWE guy than an AEW guy. They spent a year damaging him. And I think him versus MJF would be really interesting, especially since MJF is so good on the mic. And a final question for this Q&A. I know this was a short episode, but if we keep these Q&As short, then we should be able to do more of them in, you know, more of like an every other week basis. Plus, you know, let's be honest, our channel member family is quite intimate. That's a polite way of me saying that we have a small audience in the channel members. But, hey, these questions that they all gave, great topic of discussion. A lot of things that I know a lot of people are talking about still today. And, yeah, we'll do another one again. The next one probably with Kev in about 2 weeks. So anyway, close this out. Do I believe this new rule, or at least previously unspoken rule, that the Money in a Bank winner can cash in on any champion and that it dilutes the prize it actually holds? You know, let me say it like this, because, you know, James brings up, if you don't want to be a world champion, why be in this business at all? So many people have criticized the briefcase for years. And Austin Theory with the briefcase wasn't all that great. I think his record was 3-30 holding that briefcase. Carmella's record run, 275 days, she lost almost every match along the way. You can't have it both ways. If people think that the briefcase is stupid, then, you know, it's stupid. You can't call it stupid and then, you know, criticize if, I'm not saying you, but you can't criticize if someone says, you know, I could cash this in against Gunther. I could cash this in against Seth. I could cash it in against Austin Theory. I could cash it in against Roman. I could cash it in against Carmelo Hayes. At the end of the day, I don't see anybody cashing in the belt against anybody but a world heavyweight champion. So when a wrestler like Damian Priest mentions the U.S. champion or IC champion, especially Gunther, because he specifically said Gunther, that makes Gunther's belt feel more important. So there's a big difference between actually cashing it in on the Intercontinental Champion or saying that you would possibly do that. So the fact that Damian Priest brought up Gunther is great for Gunther because it makes that subliminal thought that that title is very serious. And beating Gunther and ending his arguably the greatest title reign for the IC championship of this era, this generation, the modern era, that's a pretty cool, you know, accolade to have. But at the end of the day, I don't see Damian Priest cashing in on anybody but a world heavyweight champion. So if WWE wants the briefcase to come across that somebody would cash in against anybody, I don't think that hurts the briefcase. I don't think it diminishes the heavyweight championships. I think that that is more of a nice little rub to the secondary champions out there. So no, I don't think about it at all when I've seen the noise online that some people got angry because someone teased. Even when Gunther said to Matt Riddle, hey, I hope you win the Money in the Bank and you cash it in on me. You know, like, people got angry that night. They're like, what the fuck? The briefcase should only be against heavyweight champion. You know, that's nothing wrong with that. Give the perception that every title is very prestigious. Every title is important. So if somebody says that they would consider cashing it in against somebody that's not a heavyweight champion, that's a nice rub for the secondary champion. That's not a knock on the briefcase, and it's not a shot on the heavyweight championship. So, my friends, I hope you enjoyed this quick Q&A. I am Don Tony. I hope you all have a good one. Keep supporting the website, dontony.com. Download the audio shows. Even if you enjoy the video episodes, the video versions, download the audio shows. They are the lifeline of what we do here. Without that site, these shows do not continue. So your support, plus, you know, when we see some nice stats, you know, on the top 25s of all the podcasts out there, you know, that's based on audio. That has nothing to do on the video side. So believe me, your support there, you know, the higher we are on that list, you know, the more people take notice and the more, you know, opportunities that I could possibly get, even, you know, as far as like advertisers, sponsors, which we don't have any. So support DonTony.com. If you really enjoy what I do, you know, just take a moment and download the audio episodes that I do during the week. It helps more than you can imagine. And the most important thing, it's free. It's free. I do everything I can to make sure that there is a free version of every show that I do. There's a lot of people out there that put everything behind a paywall. This shit is not cheap. And that's not trying to like make anybody feel. It's just saying that, you know, I do everything I can to keep things, you know, cost-free for everybody. So if you could take a moment, download the audio shows every week, that helps me very, very much. So I'm out of here, everyone. Be well. I'll catch you all again soon. Ciao.